really want me to start using other like, what the fuck? It's so easy to just walk around your shit. Okay. We got a big one today. A good one and a big one. That's what she said, right? So, we're gonna talk about internal consensus and this question of, due to recent developments in the potential application and exploration of this idea of merged mining or a merged mining-like system in TSN mining, is internal consensus still even necessary, right? So we're gonna go in deep. Again, that is what she said, or he said, or he said, or they, or it, or them. So as it goes, you know, I'm thinking about merged mining and how it works with Namecoin and Dogecoin. And so the thought goes, you know, these systems, the quote unquote transactions in them, obviously do not rely on internal consensus. These are, rely on the consensus of the hash power, which operates in this merge mining mechanism of Bitcoin in the case of Namecoin and Litecoin in the case of Dogecoin. And so the question is, for your own TSN address clout, right, coin, so to speak, do you even need to do your own internal consensus, or would you want to if you could, you know, why would you even want to assume the risk of managing this ledger, if you don't have to, right? But let's be clear, right? It's really not, let's be clear in our language, right? 'Cause we have to be careful in our little thought experiments here, right? We don't want to have any wrong think, you know, or think the wrong illegal thoughts, right? In this LARP of ours. So, in other words, whether it is internal consensus that we choose or not, there is no risk. It's not like, you know, CVS has CVS reward points and they manage their own internal database or ledger of those reward points. Are they assuming the risk and assuming risk in those? It's not like people are gonna use these CVS reward points to buy something from an online merchant, right? You know, it's certainly not money. It's not a payment processor or anything of that nature. And why would you want to be? Because those have to follow this money transmitter rules and all that, all the things that come along with you know, interacting with the disgustingly dirty system of Epstein coins, right? So, and by the way, even if I were to call it money, that doesn't fucking make the shit money. I can call a banana, I can call bananas money, but it doesn't make the money in the legal sense of the fucking term, right? Or I can even say, you know, I'm only accepting bananas, or I want to accept some bananas for payment at my store, and that doesn't mean I'm you know, legally creating money, right? Or, you know, I'm gonna do a family discount for all family members, right? And I'm gonna give them you know, certain rewards points that they could use because they're part of the family business, or, you know, an employee discount, right? Or, you know, the point is, we are rewarding people who help make our information or content redundant, right? And there ain't nothing wrong with that. So to stress it and be clear, when I talk about being your own bank and this, you know, thinking like a decentralized central banker, I am doing it to illustrate concepts and that, you know, banks have similar mechanism of updating a ledger, just like in the CVS case, right? So you're free to play with yourself on, you know, reaching in those regards as long as you please. But let's be clear about, you know, let's talk about things that are based in reality. Or even all that aside, if some fucking dumb fuck is gonna, why would you, you know, use someone's individual specific clout as a payment mechanism for a store? Doesn't make sense. You know, for that reason you have no recourse. Now we're gonna get into why it may not even be necessary, but whether it is or it isn't, it could work in either case. It could work in either case, whether we go with that or not. And, you know, maybe CVS is gonna actually have their own TSN address one day, and maybe they will use it for rewards points, right? Who knows? So, it's not money, and so we don't want to, forgetting about all that, you know, give people that impression anyway, you know, this, not even the, these actually, scholars, right, and these money guys in the space who, talk about why things can and cannot work, because this is good attributes of money, and this is not, so none of that really applies, because it's not trying to be money in any sense. And, you know, I know I've read all the books and stuff, so I know, you know, this guy Keynes, with the Keynesian economics versus the Australian school, if you will, so I'm well versed, guys, and, you know, talk about the good aspects of money, whether it's portability, durability, needs to be scarce, and fungibility and all that jazz, what Aristotle said. And then you have, you know, Gresham's law, good money drives out the bad, or bad money drives out the good, and the actuallys can get all worked up out of the intricacies of that, right? But we don't care about that. And that's, if you want to get them worked up, you just tinker with one of the intricacies, right? And then they get all red in the face. Or, you know, you call it something else, like, oh, it's not Gresham's law, it's Gresham's law, like, then it drives them crazy. Yeah, I know it's Gresham's law, motherfucking idiot, but I like to call it Gresham's law, okay? So, well-versed in all of that. I've listened to all, you know, the Bitcoin versus gold conversations in the space. You got these fucking idiot gold guys who are like living in their fucking textbooks, like, well, actually, you know, Bitcoin doesn't conform to the Australian school because I can't cite the verse in my fucking textbook which says it, so I'm gonna go ahead and wait till Bitcoin is $3 million before I even buy any of it, because it has to be big enough in order to be a good money, so I'm gonna go ahead and miss out on the next you know, 1,000,000% increase because my fucking textbook doesn't allow it. So, it's like, guys, listen to the fucking Stefan Lavera podcast and see him school these guys. And Stefan Lavera is a fucking Australian, okay? So, think about that. He's literally an Australian. He comes from the Australian fucking school. And he agrees that Bitcoin fulfills the Australian textbook rules, you fucking morons. And if you haven't listened to him, this guy kills it. This guy fucks. Like, Stefan Lavera, he's always, like, just schooling everyone, and then he has these great guests on, and he always breaks it down. Someone will say something really complicated, like, well, actually, the fucking carburetor in the rocket does this, this, and that, and be like, oi, okay, hold on, let's back up, let me break it down. Well, what you're talking about is the fucking, you know, continuum transfunctioner, which does this, this, and this, and let's make it real short and concise for you. So this guy's a fucking G. But anyway, it's like, even the Australians themselves agree. So let's have a look in the fucking mirror. So I know the Gremsham's Law, I know the, you know, but, and it's also like, even Keynes himself fucking says gold is a barbecue with relish, right? He says, like, you know, there should be this thing called the Bancor, which would be much better than gold, which is basically, like, Bitcoin today is what it has become, right? So, you know, in other words, like, this big heavy thing that can't be as liquid and be transported everywhere in terms of settlement is, it just doesn't mix with what central banks could use. So even Keynes himself calls it a barbecue with relish, you know, he's like, it's like lamb and tuna fish. It's central banks and gold, it just doesn't fucking mix. So whether you're going to take the Keynesian school or the Australian school, we win, okay, you fucking morons? And speaking of the Bitcoin versus gold debate, right? I've been thinking about all this BitMEX shit that's going on, and, you know, things are getting real, real colorful. So, it's real interesting. So, when we had that crash back in March in the Bitcoin market, right? When all the markets crashed, if you were paying attention at the time, I spoke about how something wasn't right with that crash in the Bitcoin market. It didn't make sense. It didn't seem like a natural market movement. I spoke about how, you know, it's all in the fucking game, of course, but probably was going to be a stupid fucking move for the person who executed those trades in the grand scheme of things. And what was interesting is you had all these gold guys taking their victory laps, especially there was this one guy who started going on all these podcasts, this fucking moron. We don't even need to say his name, right? And, you know, started taking victory laps about, like, oh, see, look how good, how's your Bitcoin doing now, right? And I think this guy actually, you know, has a lot of Bitcoin from his business, and, he may have even been an early miner, I'm not sure, but definitely a gold dude. So that was interesting, right? But I digress. So you had this fucking huge crash in the Bitcoin market, which I spoke about. You wouldn't sell like that, right? If you were a market participant acting in self-interest, right? Trying to make the best trades possible. Not in that fashion. Even in, you know, the Bitcoin market, I've seen some shit. over the last decade, some crazy fucking moves, especially when it was more illiquid, right? But at this level, at this period in time, a move like that, nah, something was fishy. And if you were paying attention, a lot of people were talking about how the BitMEX, engine or trading engine went down at the time, right? So that was interesting. And, you know, whether it was circuit breakers or whatever, something fishy seemed to happen there, right? I spoke about how it was, you know, seemed like someone was almost trying to create the narrative that Bitcoin was correlated to all other markets. And then, so you had these guys coming out right after. See, look how great, you know, Bitcoin's doing. So now, with all these investigations, you know, it's like, I don't know if people were putting accounts under different names or whatnot. Something like that. Or if people were using it anonymously without masks, right? Using, or without VPNs or something like that on BitMEX. But wouldn't it be interesting if we found out indirectly what happened in March, right? But honestly, I don't enjoy these games, guys. I'm a free markets guy. It's all in the game guy. And so now, how much Bitcoin do you have? How much Bitcoin did that narrative cost? Seems pretty expensive. So anyway, let's get back to the topic at hand, right? So let's get back to some true social network stuff. So the point of this one was supposed to be this question of, is internal consensus necessary if you could somehow harness this merge mining concept for transactions as well? And so you see the distinction to be noted here is, in traditional merge mining, so to speak, I guess, let's use Dogecoin, for example, which uses Litecoin for merge mining. And I guess, you know, there's the terminology of Litecoin is like the parent chain and Dogecoin is the auxiliary chain, which uses, it harnesses Litecoin's hash power to handle the consensus of the Dogecoin blockchain and mining. And so the distinction is between us and that traditional type of merge mining is that Dogecoin blocks are simply Dogecoin made up of Dogecoin transactions, right? Changing the account balances of Dogecoin in the Dogecoin ledger of public nodes. And so that's where the distinction is those are all, you know, financial transactions, so to speak, using the Dogecoin unit of account. Now, back to us, our concept was embedding the hashes of TSN blocks in this Bitcoin hash power, using Bitcoin as the sort of parent chain. And so that would create this sort of proof-of-work mechanism in our TSN historical records, right, of TSN references, which is like content. It's not financial transactions. That's a sort of a separate aspect which could play in here. So you see the hurdles involved conceptually. Because, in other words, you're either going to have to be doing it, you're either going to have a separate internal database engine, right, which feeds in, which is designated for cloud transactions, which you manage, which is referenced in some form in your TSM blocks, whether it's the Merkle root in the block, or you could do it in TSM block header, similar to Bitcoin. But even if it's just in the block, it's committed to that hash. So it is sort of baked into that cake, so to speak. But you would still have to be updating the. You would still be doing your internal consensus of this database engine. And it could be, it can be done. It's not the simplest thing, but it's done in the real world with regular, internal database systems for accounting and money. There's these concepts of atomicity. One is a commit or a transaction, officially changed in a database. You could talk about consistency in the data versus consistency in all the nodes who are running the data and all that jazz. But it can be done, and you'd probably likely have like a serialization approach where sort of, first transactions that are received are committed to this database, and sort of in that order. And you don't really, it's there's no real double spending. It's like, again, this is just for conceptual sake, but if you spend money through your PayPal account, it's you can't double spend it. It's whatever they receive first. I mean, you can in that scenario appeal to them once they commit their changes, right? But not with us. But so the point is, they have their order. They allow you then to later sort of roll back is another database term, right? But so this there would be no rollbacks, and it would just be a serialization. And I suppose you'd have to just sort of designate when they're atomic. Is it atomic when it's in your database engine, or is it atomic when you take the Merkle root and put it in your block? Or is it atomic once your block is being built upon, sort of like Bitcoin? But the problem with that is then you're waiting days, a full day for a confirmation, so I don't think it would be that. Obviously, you'd have more assurance at that point, but you could probably do more, you wouldn't need to wait to then to build on a transaction, because you have internal consensus in this frame of thought, right? But certainly can be done, but then you're not using the merge mining aspect for your state for updating the state of transactions. It's sort of a separate thing, these cloud transactions, as opposed to adding work to your historical record, right? But so what has been brought to my attention is that this thought that, Dogecoin doesn't have an entity or a dude who's doing internal consensus. They get that benefit of Litecoin mining doing their consensus. So you may not even have to do any of that if you want to rely on the merge mining. Now, as I spoke about earlier, it is, though, a different set of trade-offs and a different sort of scope of work and design, right? So, Dogecoin, even though it's merge mining, in order to do that, it has its still its own network of the Litecoin miners who run Dogecoin nodes, which Dogecoin wallets use to submit and propagate transactions to be included in Dogecoin blocks. And so you see, you really have to depend on people being incentivized enough to merge mine Dogecoin. You need to have enough people running these Dogecoin nodes and mining with, the parent chain of Litecoin, because then you're not relying on internal consensus, which could be great. It's like if you get rid of that headache of managing that database engine, but then it's clear everyone's running that database of transactions. So not only are they running this database of TSN blocks, but they're running this database of TSN transactions, right? So, or T, you know, Clout Ledger. So then it's like a different set of hurdles. So are you doing, you know, which what type of hash are you committing to the, you know, in that case, Litecoin, but, so let's use Litecoin for argument's sake. So which hash are you committing to the Litecoin blockchain, the TSN block hash, or a TSN block of, a Clout Ledger block of transactions, right? So then it's like, well, you can't really do two. You'd have to either, like, you could, like, XOR the bits and the bytes of these two hashes, right, to get one hash. You could sort of append them together and take a hash of that to get one hash. So then you get, you know, you lessen the bytes and they're sort of committed into this one hash. Or, you know, it's sort of like maybe if you're going to have everyone running this ledger of Clout transactions, which is like sort of a separate thing, and these Litecoin miners are going to be merge mining these Clout transaction blocks, right, in this sort of separate ledger, you don't have to worry about, you could sort of put a TSN block hash in, you could embed that in a Clout transaction block, right? Sort of in like the, you could say you could make a rule that in order to propose Clout Ledger blocks for merge mining, they have to include the TSN, most recent TSN block hash in their Coinbase reward, right? So you'd be still getting that proof of work on your TSN historical record, and you'd be updating these Clout Ledger transactions in real time. Now, for instance, with Dogecoin, you have these, I think it's like 1 minute blocks, or it's very short block time. Obviously, TSN blocks are, you know, every day or so, right, or more. So it'd be like, well, these faster confirmations for your TSN Clout transactions would just have the most current block for like a day. They'd all have them in their Coinbase reward, and then it's like as soon as the new block is out, then people would have to would update the new Coinbase reward to sort of be also, you know, embedding their historical record of content in these merged mined Clout Ledger blocks, right? So that's just the first thoughts, first attempt at it and thinking. Obviously, we'll drill down and make it prettier. All right. Well, maybe we'll do a part two. We'll see. But that's it for now. Peace.